Good morrow, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode, Season 3, Episode 3, of Talking Pollocks. I'm joined, as ever, by the amazing, fantastic Ginger Sean.
Oh, you're talking to me. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't realise because you said Ginger Sean and I didn't realise there was another one in the room.
No, no, no. The only ginger in the room I see is you.
That's a bit rude.
How are you, Sean?
Yes, I am exhausted, as always. It's been a long week.
Busy week. And it's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday, but it's a busy week.
Wednesday for us. It's Thursday for you. Or if you're listening to this in, like, 2093... Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I doubt someone's going to be listening in 2093, but yeah.
We'll all be dead by then. Anyway.
Moving on.
Moving swiftly on. We're going to start this week with where we ended last week, weirdly.
Seems like a good follow-on point, right?
It seems like a good place to start, right?
Yes.
The end.
Yes, definitely.
Why not? Trump's big win, right? He is the prez now, as we know. But there's been a few updates since last time. So, Trump. President again.
Well, President-elect.
President-elect again.
At the moment.
Takes office 20th of January, 2025. I think. Might be wrong on that date. Don't
just say January.
That. January 2025. Right? Can't get that wrong. He doesn't have to storm the Capitol building or incite a riot this time, so that's good. So there's been a few appointments that have been made by Mr. Trump. First one for me, most notably, is Elon Musk.
Yes.
Has been appointed to his government as I forget the title, Sean. Can you just spell it out for me?
So
Elon's new title.
So he hasn't been given a title per se.
Right.
Instead, he has been given a job as co-leader.
Co-leader? You mean Elon's going to have to work with someone? Uh-oh.
Yes. Yeah. So he is the co-leader of the Department of Government Efficiency. Which obviously, as we all know, is
shortened. Who's the other leader? Who's he got to work with?
So
that's what I want to know.
He's got to work with a Republican, former Republican presidential nominee, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, I remember her.
Him.
Oh, not who I was thinking of then.
So, Vivek was, he was running to be president. Well, he was running to be nominated for president
against Trump,
Trump, and then dropped out and gave all his votes to Trump.
That's it.
So it was. He was bound to get a role. However, my question here: so the Department of Government Efficiency, how can it be efficient to have two leaders?
You raise a good point there, Sean.
So instantly, I found some efficiencies for them. Sack one of them.
Well, this is probably what Elon's going to do. Well, I found the first efficiency. There doesn't need two of me. You're fired.
Yeah, basically. but it's not a...
I am great at my job.
It's not going to be a government department.
Oh, right, okay. So it's going to be outside of federal jurisdiction.
Yes, because government departments have to be approved by the House.
Which he does have control of, so it would
Elon
work.
Elon Musk is never going to pass because he owns... Tesla, SpaceX, X.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he would have to divest all of his interests, and he's not going to do that, is he?
No, of course he's not.
So it's going to be run more like a consultancy to the government.
Oh, okay.
But they've been tasked with
a bit like Hydra in Marvel.
Yeah, basically. But they've been tasked with finding, and brace yourself for this number.
Okay.
$2 trillion worth of government savings.
I mean, America is a big country, so that number doesn't entirely surprise me.
That is the entire GDP of the UK.
I mean, what's their GDP? Like 300 billion? Something stupid like that?
Please hold, caller. Your call is very important to us. Please hold.
That is a sign that Sean doesn't have that information to hand, and he's quickly Googling it.
No.
What is the GDP of America?
The GDP of the US is 27.36 trillion dollars.
Oh wow, I was way off then.
So
I thought it was like gargantuan.
So like 7%.
We don't often do America on Talking Pollocks.
Easily enough, easy way to have shown that it couldn't have been that high is the entire world's economy is 212 trillion.
Oh yeah, and that still doesn't equate to Google's fine by Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
From Russia.
But there's been a few other appointments.
Okay.
He's also appointed a Fox News presenter as the Defence Secretary.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, hang on. Why didn't you start with that one? What the... Hang on, I'm going to say it, podcast, and forgive me, we might beep. What the fuck?
And I'm sorry,
Fox News anchor.
I didn't start with Elon Musk. You did.
Oh, yeah, good point. Anyway, what?
Yes, so Pete Hegseth, he is currently a Fox News anchor.
Yeah. A Fox News what?
Anchor.
Anchor, right, yeah, okay.
And yeah, he's going to be the Defence Secretary. He was once upon a time...
Anthony Blinken is the current...
No, he's currently Secretary of State.
Oh, Secretary of State, okay. Who's the current Defence Sec under Biden?
It was that guy that had cancer and didn't tell Biden that he was going for an operation. I can't remember his name.
He got in a lot of trouble. Yes, he got in a lot of trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Austin.
Yes.
Can't remember his first name. It's off my head.
Mister.
Let's go with that. However, the experience from Pete that he brings to this role.
Okay, here
is
we go.
Minimal to say to give it a
shocking.
A label.
Really?
He was once a National Guard.
Right.
That was it. That was the list of experience that I could find for him.
Okay, so.
Just let that sink in for a moment.
And he's going to be the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, he's going to be the person in charge of defense. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just can't understand why.
Why not? How is he going to run?
Like, you know how they have like the meetings at the table, the army guy, SecDef, marine guy, navy guy, the chief of staffs. That's the one that I was looking for. How is he going to run that meeting?
Well, they're all going to be sat on a sofa, and he's going to be sat behind a desk
tonight on defense.
That's literally going to be
you. Have got a $2 trillion budget cut. That's... You have a $1 trillion budget increase.
That's how the Pentagon is now going to be laid out. Like the task for them is offices need to be laid out like interview studios.
Do you think they're going to start? Because Fox are known for slightly bending the truth sometimes.
A little bit.
Just a smidge. Do you think that they're going to start bending the truth in office?
Isn't that what all of them do?
The
realisation sinks in.
And we're constantly being lied to.
However, there is a good appointment.
Oh, what? Has he appointed a fishing boat captain to head of the Navy? What?
No. So he has appointed America's first ever female chief of staff to the president. Susie Wiles, his campaign manager.
Good job.
For this election. He's announced that she's going to take over as chief of staff, which I think that is a big step.
Yeah, you know, good job, Trump.
First time ever.
Fair play.
Like with us in the first time Chancellor.
Yep.
And last time. and then the only other real appointment that I really thought was worth bringing up was the new Secretary of State has also been announced.
Okay.
So, taken over from Antony Blinken will be Marco Rubio. He's a former governor of Fork, I believe.
Yeah.
I reckon he might fit in. He's a Latino, the first Latino announced in the cabinet this year.
Oh, cool.
So again, it's showing diversity in his.
That's good from Trump,
cabinet,
I guess.
Which I think is a positive to take away from it. Let's not all look at the negatives, you know. We could all take the piss out of appointing a news presenter to be our defense secretary. But,
moron. Speaking of a little bit of bad news. Like the pun there, news. Bad news for Trump. There's been a bit of a rocky announcement in the House today as well.
Senate.
In the Senate, sorry,
in
yes.
The Senate, yes. They named their new... the Republicans named their new leader in the Senate, didn't they? Replacing
they did.
82, the 80, current 82-year-old who holds that
Yes, place. His name is Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, but the new guy, it's a bit of... It's not great news for Trump, is it?
No, because he's not... An avid supporter of Trump, it has to be said.
No, Trump was backing someone else who was a very close supporter of him.
Yeah, but, shocker.
but yeah, it seems that the Senate have tried to distance themselves maybe a little bit from the White House.
Which is a good thing because it will kind of keep Trump in check because, you know, he's got the House, he's got the Senate.
Like we said last week, he's got the trifecta and power potential.
Yeah, so it's good to know that there are still some people within the American system just making sure everything's running okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Trump, you can't go to war with Chile.
But yeah, so but things are going well. They're progressing.
Good.
Let's say that, you know, Trump was in Washington today, meeting with Biden to start the transition process.
He was, yes, and he said to Biden, "Oh, politics is tough. I might run again in 2028." I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that, Trump.
No, he's not under the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution.
Can't have more than two terms there, bro, unless he's wanting to change this.
Let's look at
Can I just offer an unpopular opinion here?
Yeah, go for it.
I think that it would create a little bit more stability.
I don't know.
Within not just the US, but the world.
No, I don't agree with that. So
no.
So let's look at the history of why this happens. Brief history into this. So okay. Roosevelt.
Yes. Theodore Roosevelt. Yeah.
In between the 30s and 40s, I believe it was.
Uh huh.
He ended up serving four terms as president.
Yes.
He passed away years later in the early 50s.
Yeah.
And then the Supreme, or the House, voted to approve the 22nd Amendment, the Constitution, which says you can't serve more than 2 4-year terms in office, whether consecutive or not.
Yeah.
So obviously that's trying to rule out any avenue.
Yeah.
Obviously there are ways around it. In the wording, but that's that has to be, you know, I didn't serve 2 4-year terms. I served a 2-year term and a 4-year. Something like that.
Yeah.
But none of those situations fit. So
yeah.
There is no way for him to currently.
No, unless he wants to change this.
But
changing the American Constitution is effectively changing the very fabric of what it is to be American.
Exactly.
And Trump is making America great again, not making America better for him. Do you know what I mean?
We say that, but there are so many amendments to the American Constitution that, you know, changing it isn't that much of a big deal.
No, but removing something that has been there
for as long as it has. Yeah, I suppose it has been there for, 72 years?
Yeah.
So it is, yeah, it would be controversial, most definitely. But I don't think Trump is afraid of being controversial, let's be honest.
No, I don't think that's first on his list.
You know, I think evidence of that is appointing Elon Musk.
The Fox News anchor?
And the Fox News anchor. But the questions around Elon Musk at the moment are, is he going to serve his own interests?
Of course he is.
He's going to be writing rules and regulations that he then has to follow. So of course he's going to write them in a way
exactly.
that benefits him, right?
The first rule is going to be anyone called Elon gets $1 billion. Oh, look at that.
That's pocket change to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that doesn't matter. But one point I'd like to raise on the transition.
Okay.
It doesn't all seem to be going swimmingly. The important parts are going well.
Okay. Do explain the
FOTUS.
The First Lady of the United States of America.
Yes. The First Lady, obviously currently Jill Biden.
How's she doing?
She's well. She's chipper. She looked chipper in the photos anyway.
Better than her husband.
Yeah, he had to sit down.
I'm surprised he isn't Ash yet.
And then obviously new First Lady, because obviously Trump isn't married to
also,
Jill Biden.
Ex-First Lady, Melania Trump.
Yeah, Melania Trump.
Who's definitely not being paid to be Trump's wife at all.
Oh, no, not at all. That's not an arrangement.
That's definitely not happening, everybody. Just to make that perfectly clear, definitely not happening.
Allegedly,
definitely not happening.
Yeah. But Jill Biden invited Melania to the White House today to also have transition talks because, you know, the First Lady does have official duties.
Yeah, they do have duties and stuff, don't they?
There needs to be a transition of that power. Well, Melania said no.
What?
Yeah, she didn't go. She rejected the invitation.
Why?
I don't know. I couldn't find a reason that's been reported as of yet.
Hi, Melania. Would you like to... I'd like to invite you to afternoon tea at the White House. We can discuss the future First Lady and everything. No.
No. Hang up. But what
she hung up on me.
What Jill Biden has done instead,
yes,
is written her a letter.
Is it a strongly worded letter?
No. It's a nice letter saying that her and her team are ready to work with them over the transition.
Hi, Skank. Yeah. Can't believe you turned me down for tea, you bitch. Can't wait to see you at the inauguration. Look out for the red dot.
TTFL.
TTFL, Jill, XOXO.
But yeah, I just thought that was a bit, you know, considering how well Trump has taken, is handling this and Joe is handling this. I thought Melania would be there to support him. Maybe Trump didn't offer enough payment. I mean, that's not happening.
Definitely not happening. So moving on then to the next segment, which is... We're bringing the tone down a little bit because this is a little bit of a somber topic, but it is a topic that we need to discuss, not just here, but as a nation as well.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
And it's important that it's been brought to the House.
Yeah, and I do think that Labour have done a good thing by bringing this bill forward. I think that it is a discussion that the country's needed to have for a long time, and that is the assisted death bill.
Yes.
So this is a bill that Labour have introduced, which effectively states that if you are of sound mind and you haven't got long left, there will be a legal route that you can follow to take your own life.
Yeah. So the bill obviously explains that there will have to be strict rules in place and a strict process that has to be followed.
Yeah. So there's going to be, like, you know, you're going to need witnesses, you're going to have to do testimony, like a witness statement and everything. You've got to make a declaration, effectively.
So you said the first point. Have to be of sound mind. You have to be able to make that decision.
You effectively have to be able to push the plunger yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be able to self-administer it, right?
That's not specified.
Is that not specified?
It just specifies that you have to be able to make the decision.
Yeah, I know that's something that's being discussed. That
will be discussed later on, because that's a concern by the doctor saying, well, we don't want to administer. But that's a later issue.
Yeah, I certainly think that we need a good couple of sessions in the House to discuss this. I think that's what they've asked for, isn't it? A couple of 16 hours in total, right?
Yeah, to extend it, because there's nowhere near that much allocated to it at the moment. And with how impactful this could be, it needs it.
It's very big for the national conversation, for sure.
Definitely. Okay. But a good thing to be having that conversation. Yep.
And sticking with the House, let's talk about the new Tory leader.
Right.
Kemi. Oh, she was in her second PMQs today, and it was a bit of a faff on, wasn't it? It was a bit faffy. She seemed to be stumbling over her words a lot.
Yeah, but fair enough. Maybe she had a heavy night last night.
Kemi's out on the bevy.
Kemi on the bevy, yeah. She was stumbling her words, which isn't a great look, you know, as leader of the opposition. But then again, let's all look at the Prime Minister. He doesn't even know that the opposition is the opposition.
Yeah, he was calling Rishi Sunak the PM for many weeks.
Many, many weeks.
Yeah, so we can't judge her too hard.
So they all make mistakes, and I think this is one of those things that won't even be looked at next week.
Nah, it'll be forgotten about. But not exactly a good outing. She needs to be showing that she's a strong leader right now. And
she does.
It's not great.
Exactly. Like I said, the perception of it doesn't give that confidence in an opposition, does it?
No, it doesn't project that they're going to be great, I must admit.
But she did catch Keir off guard. She surprised him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. This was the...
It was the first question that she asked. He asked him, there was two parts to it, really. There was a snide jab and then followed up by a question. Ooh. So she said, so your recent pledge at COP29 to reduce UK emissions by 81% by 2035 is going to cost households very much money and is going to increase the cost of living.
Which is already high, by the way.
Yeah, already quite high. And then she smoothly wrap that up into asking her question, which I go in something like, speaking about the cost of living, she was asking about the government's plans on the cap on council tax and whether they plan to keep it. And,
I will be mortally angry if they don't.
He didn't really know how to respond. He just stood up and went, she knows what the arrangements are, and sat down again.
okay.
This is going back to the election, you know, he's a robot.
Yes.
And he had a buffer for an answer then. but yeah, so not really an answer.
No.
So we don't know.
What are the arrangements?
Well, there's a cap on.
Well, she might want. If I was the speaker, I would have stood up and go, order. She might know what the arrangements are. Or the right honourable lady might know what the arrangements are. But the public watching at home might not.
That would be nice.
Prime Minister.
Can you explain? Yeah, that would be nice. But no, that didn't happen, unfortunately.
Can the speaker get involved like that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, as a side. I think he should.
They don't really do much. They just try and keep the house in order.
Yeah, I think he should have gone up there and gone, order. Bring Burko back. Order. I know. He should have got involved there and said no. And she might know what the arrangements are, but come on, the backbenchers, the rest of the public watching at home, the people who are actually interested in this might not understand what those arrangements are. So what are they, Prime Minister?
I think the reason that the Speaker doesn't really get involved is because of time constraints. Because there's only half an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
And the answers have to be short and concise. And probably standing there and explaining the arrangements on council tax caps is probably.
I'm pretty sure the cap is on. You can't raise it more than 5% in a year, right?
Yes.
I believe this is what the arrangement is.
Unless you're under special measures, and then you can go up to
25%.
Well, 21 was the top.
It might be a bit. It might be. It's around 25%.
Yeah. So, but not a great showing there for Keir though. So far in this first part of PMQ, bit of a.
Yeah.
Rough start, right?
Just a quick note on how much the country has changed in the last 6 months. Keir and Kemi, double K, in the house. You know, 6 months ago, it was Rishi and Keir on the other side.
Yeah.
And was it? Has he been in office? He hasn't been in office 6 months now.
No, he hasn't.
What, in November? When was it? July?
July.
Okay, yeah.
Technically good. The second half of this year.
So. But 5 months of, like, you know, the country's changed a lot and just.
Has it?
Well, yeah.
What's changed?
Everyone is very angry with Labour now.
Well,
that's what's changed.
But nothing in the country has changed, and that's why people are angry.
There was a lot of riots.
Yeah, but that was in the past, right? No one's talking about the riots anymore.
But we are still talking about taking money off old people.
Yes, because that shouldn't be happening.
Definitely shouldn't be happening.
Speaking about Reeves taking money off old people.
Oh, is she at it again? What care home has she robbed this time?
Well, Kemi questioned. Oh, well, she calls out the lack of social care provisions in the budget.
Is this a question about putting it in council tax?
Well, no. So she was saying that the local government association.
Yeah.
Is saying that this is going to increase strain on local government budgets because the increase in social care and no increased funding for it.
They've still got to fit it in the budget.
They've got to fit it within their existing budgets. And then she did make another little jibe.
Ooh, she likes a jibe.
Oh, she does, Kenny. Yeah. So this one was aimed at Rachel. Rachel Reeves.
His left-hand woman.
No, she called her the copy and paste Chancellor.
Oh, okay.
As a bit of a throwback to Rachel Reeves' book that she released.
Oh, yes.
She just copied and pasted huge sections of it from the internet.
That's brilliant, yeah.
So a little jibe in there. She does love digging at them.
Hilarious.
And then she moves on.
How did Reeves not get done for copyright infringement with that book?
She removed the sale.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. That's how you get around that.
Oh, so you just don't sell it?
Yeah.
Because you're a cheat.
Because you're a cheat, yeah.
Well done, everyone, for voting her in. Good job.
Oh, funny. Then they move on to another important topic.
Oh.
The national insurance contribution increases, of
course. This is obviously the conversation about putting a lot of strain on small businesses because they're going to have to pay an uplift in national insurance while the employee rate stays the same.
Yes, yes. So Kemi stood up to the box after here.
Yep.
And said, she gave an example, someone called Kelly, I don't know.
Hi, Kelly, if you're listening.
Hi, Kelly. she was explaining about how this is going to cost Kelly.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. And you hear it all the time. I was listening to the radio this morning and I heard a owner of a chain of pubs and he was like, it's going to cost me 10 grand per pub, etc. But yeah, Kemi gave Kelly, so many K's. Kemi gave Kelly to Kia. said, what do you say to businesses, Kia?
And what did he say?
He stood up and basically just blamed the Tories. Ah, the inheritance
Shocker.
That we've got, the 22 billion black hole, you know, the shit that we've all heard before.
He can't keep using that as an excuse.
I think that we're going to hear that for at least the next 6 months.
Do you reckon he uses that excuse at home? Kia, you've left the toilet seat up again. I was inherited a bad toilet.
And the seat didn't close.
The seat will not go down. What do you want me to do? My dad was a toolmaker.
My mum's a nurse. But yeah, so... It is getting to a point where you like that, aren't you? Isn't
yeah.
It? Where you're like, you can't just keep using that.
Change the fucking record.
You know, come on, you're making these decisions now. It's nothing to do with the Tories. You're the one that's decided to raise taxes by £40 billion. No one else's decision. So you start having to take some responsibility at some point. Otherwise, we might as well still have the Tories in fucking government, right? Or we might need a beep there.
At least we haven't dropped any C-bombs today, Sean. No C-bombs has been dropped today. So overall then, Kemi, not so great in PMQs, but Kia, equally not so great.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit shoddy from both of them, really.
Now, Sean, I hope you're sitting down.
I am sitting comfortably.
Breaking news.
Oh my God.
In from the House of Commons. Nigel Farage was there today.
Holy moly.
He
was in the UK.
He was in the UK.
Wow.
And he had a question for Kia.
Shocking.
Right? I know. He asked Kia if he was going to congratulate Mr. Trump after some quite nasty things that people have said in the past.
Yeah.
And Kia said, I've already congratulated him. Yeah. But Nigel also asked Kia if he was going to prescribe would be a better word, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist group.
He did. And do you know what the Prime Minister gave as a response?
Go on.
It's nice of you to show up, essentially, something along those lines. And then went on further to joke that he thought that he was going to see Nigel's name in the immigration statistics, which I did think was quite amusing, because he has spent more time in America than he has in the UK.
I mean, what other people are Clacton getting out of having an MP that is never in the country?
If you live
in Clacton and you're listening, I do apologise.
You're getting Donald Trump, that's what
you're getting. Yeah, you're basically getting Trump and a guy that drinks beer.
Yeah, that's how you sum up Nigel, right?
And he likes having milkshake on him. No, don't throw milkshake.
We've
talked about this before. Don't throw milkshakes on people unless they're Nigel Farage. Cool, okay. So yeah, PMQs, I did miss it today. I've had to catch up afterwards.
Yes, as have I. I've been very busy.
We've both been exceedingly busy this week, chat. So I don't think there's anything else for us to go through, is there, Sean?
I do not believe so. I'm keen. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming up over the next few weeks, with Trump especially.
One more thing before we end today, and it was quite an important question, actually, and it was our good friend, the MP, actor extraordinaire, Ed Davey.
Okay.
He asked the question of Kia, which I thought was a rather important one, about what would happen if the US withdrew their support for Kia.
Oh,
great.
I did see this. Yes.
He asked the Prime Minister whether the UK and its European partners would step up to fill the gap. quote, right? If, you know, if the Trump administration does withdraw support, that's going to leave a huge hole on the Ukrainian front line in their war against Russia. Obviously, Russia now having the backing of North Korea as well. There is North Korean troops in Ukraine at the moment. So,
which is something that Ukraine hasn't been provided with, is foreign troops, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, you know, Keir Starmer's just gone on the same line as what's already been said, that he's resolute in our support for Ukraine. Not really much.
It's a bit flaky, isn't it?
It's a bit flaky, but, you
but
know.
I do understand.
That support won't stop.
Where. We've already committed $3 billion per year. Where does the rest come from if we do add
Yeah, let
more?
Me just see if I can find his quote.
That's
So, Keir Starmer said in response to this that the UK has been resolute in its support for Kyiv and says discussions on how to put Ukraine in the best and strongest position possible will continue.
Yeah.
How long have these talks been going on for now? Years? Come on.
I know, like, we're nearly 3 years into the war.
Just, you know, and I swear to God, if Trump takes office in January and the war ends, we'll know that the whole thing was orchestrated to get Trump into office.
I don't think that's the case. I just don't. I just don't.
It's talking conspiracy theories coming up
you
next.
You really are, yeah, like... crikey.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. It is always amazing when we sit down and record one of these, because it basically means that me and Sean get to just rant at each other about all the things that have pissed us off this week.
Exactly. That's the best part of my week sometimes.
It absolutely is.
Guys are finding it good.
Yes, I hope you're enjoying. One more thing before we go.
Second time he's done this.
Yeah, you can email us, talkingpollocks@griffinshawn.com. We're eager to hear from you if you have any questions for us. But we'll let you go. Have a good evening, a day, night, morning. Yeah. See you next time.
We love you.
Love
Bye.
You. Bye. Bye.